G'day, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the Friendly Jimmy's podcast.
And as is usual tradition, there's one lucky dip episode per month where Miss Love is not here because he is a slave to chickens at this point. And what's even sadder is he's a slave to dead chickens.
But
it's like one of those fantasy books where there is a certain section of the globe that is just inhabited by the undead. But it's forms that are way dumber than Miss Love, but they're his lord.
But man, he's good at making chicken.
Well, I haven't tasted it yet, but look, let's say this for now, because we haven't tasted the general Miss Loves yet, and that is what it's called, by the way, and I'll be deep in the cold ground before I call it.
No, but did they actually genuinely name one of the items General's Chicken or some shit?
Did they? Well, this is news to me.
I don't know, because like Holly kept saying that you guys should come to General Chicken. Maybe she was just saying it because she knew
just
that
just to
we
entice us
it
for
that,
more
yeah.
customers. Yeah, yeah, she is wily like that.
But they're killing it. They're getting a lot of customers. And if you live in the greater mountain areas, you should go visit General Chicken.
And let's be honest, if you're listening to this podcast, you don't. you do not live in Lithgow. There's no way. The only thing that you'll be listening to right now is just being like, oh man, I just found a podcast that is just tractor ads. Sick.
No, but we've got a few fans in Lithgow. Remember those emails that we would get? I see you guys hanging around all the time. Do you want to get a beer sometime?
Oh, that's right.
And then we just never gave a response.
But let's just restrict that a lot. You could say that we don't have... What you could say is, we don't have fans in Lithgow. We have fans in the mall there, specifically in EB Games.
Don't lie, there's no EB Games in Lithgow.
Yeah, it's a sanity.
Yeah, they're still rocking Segas. Which, ironically, so is Jordan. A man who...
Hey, PlayStation 1.
I think,
I'm down with the kids.
Yeah, because I think you have upwards of maybe $20,000 at this point, and, and you still have a goddamn PlayStation 1.
And I don't even have an actual PlayStation 1. It comes out with this just 20 games. You cannot change those games.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah, it's just a jukebox of...
That's sad.
Yeah, and there's all these games that you've never heard of, that no one's ever heard of. Just things that I think people sent into Sony's demo tracks being like, yo, what do you think of my song, man? And they just went, yeah, this is You're Gonna Fly. And then they just chucked it on that and charged $90.
Dude, that could be your video idea. Just start reviewing those games.
Damn. I'm going to be honest with you, Ali. I'm not going to play those games again.
Shut the fuck up. As soon as one of your editor comes, you're going to straight away ask them to play PlayStation 1.
Yeah, but again, we're going to have to narrow it down like we did with EB Games. It's just Tekken 3.
True.
Tekken 3 or bust.
The worst GTA ever. Man, that GTA that you have on your PlayStation 1, that sucks balls. Like, it really shows you how far Rockstar Games came. The new ones are basically just a Netflix documentary at this point.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
You pretend to play, but they're doing their own shit.
No, look, I'm glad that... don't you think it just kind of seems like really the only thing that has advanced since Grand Theft Auto was released, and it was a long time ago, is graphics and phones.
Yeah, but...
Everything else is the same.
Dude, that doesn't happen with all games. Like, my brothers keep playing FIFA. You know, the football game. Man, that shit has been the same since 2002.
It's so obvious that the primary language in your house is not English.
H Liverpool, yeah. H the Liverpool accent.
Can FOBs get over FIFA? It's not fun.
It can be fun.
Ah, oh, see, here we go.
It's fun this. If you like... Man, you know what? So I was... You know how you get into one of those YouTube rabbit holes?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how I ended up here, but for like 3 hours straight, in possibly one of the busiest weeks of my life too, mind you, I kept watching the greatest gameplay strategies in sports ever. And most of the sports that were on there, I don't even know the rules of them. But I was still watching that shit. And then I was watching them play soccer... And when I went home and then played FIFA, that was a fun game.
Why? Oh, because you knew what to do.
No, no. Because, like, I don't know. I just felt kind of like a manager for a little bit. Fuck. All right. I get it. So let's move on to our first segment. I know. I immediately regret this.
So when people are watching FIFA, they're imagining that they're that fat old dude that's chewing gum in the box that's never happy. Even if they're 7 points ahead, he's still sitting there just being like, yeah, he's getting a bit weak on defense. Yeah, we might have to replace him next week.
Yeah.
That's your fantasy.
But that's because they're
your life is better than his. I'm just calling it now.
You know whose life is bad? So in that video,
who?
I was watching some of the gameplays of American football. Man, I don't know the game. I don't know the rules of that shit. But their strategies are badass. One motherfucker, this was his legitimate strategy. He realized that the logo that's on the ground where you go touchdown, that's usually the team logo. He realized that logo was very similar to what the clothes that he was wearing. So he just went there and laid down and camouflaged himself while the entire defense went on the other side. Then he gets the ball and just starts running.
Surprise, bitch! Are you serious?
I am 100% serious. Tell me this
and
video
it
was an it worked.
Wow.
Yeah, so that YouTube rabbit hole was a little bit constructive.
You know what, Ali? Isn't it amazing that, like, okay, first of all, I think this is one of the... This is really sad to admit, but this is easily top 10 most exciting moments on the Friendly Geordies podcast, which has been going for 4 years. And I'm not even being facetious when I say that. I think we were genuinely impressed by that. But what's even more impressive is that... You wasted three hours of your life, and all you could do is whittle it down to like a minute 30.
I'm a great editor,
and I could see it in your eyes that you think it's worth it.
Dude, it was totally worth it, and yeah, I synthesized 3 hours of knowledge into this 1 minute of proper information that the world needs.
Yeah,
I'm doing a public service here.
It is. Look, as soon as you start mentioning sport, it kind of just divvies into that world automatically. But talking to you then, even though you're Ali, even though you're wearing glasses, it just reminds me of hanging out with my more bogan friends just like around a bonfire despite the fact they don't have a permit for
one. Dude, don't pretend you have bogan friends.
I just went to one of their weddings.
That's true, but they're not bogans.
Oh, well, what are they then?
Dude, if you think they're bogans, you haven't hung out with proper bogans.
You know what? Fair call, actually. Now that I think about it. Yeah.
They're just
jobs.
Westies.
Yeah.
They're just Westies.
Okay. God, that says so much about my knowledge of this country that I've been living in for 20 years. It's just the eastern suburbs bubble.
Yeah.
Anyone past Strathfield? Ooh, I don't know.
But you genuinely... Remember before you started coming to my house, which I think was your first ever experience of going into the West, you genuinely thought that cars in Mount Druitt are on flames at all times.
Because I saw one once on flames.
Get on. You didn't see one.
Well, it wasn't on flames at the time, but it was a burnt car that was just in the middle of a main street, and everyone was walking around like it was their normal day, as if this wasn't the beginning of Mad Max 1. You know, like that was Mount Druitt to me. And then I went over to your house, and then I realized, like, oh yeah, you know what, like, some of these houses have Blue Haven pools, this isn't that bad.
Yeah, and they've got red roosters. I think that was the bit that you're like, actually the western suburbs are mad.
Which I will, I still, patent pending, I'm calling it, that General Mislovs is not as good as Red Rooster.
Yeah, because actually I was asking Jordan, I was telling Jordan that we should go to Mislovs restaurant soon, and Jordan was like, I don't mind going to Lithgow, but can we have food at Red Rooster? You do realize that one of our best friends is a direct competition.
And no, there's loyalty has to be made at some point, doesn't it? And really, there comes a point where you realize that country comes before family, doesn't it? You have to stay true to
your
roots.
Red Rooster can't be a nationalistic symbol of Australia.
It pretty much is. How sad is it that our Uncle Sam is the guy from Hard Quiz?
But isn't Red Rooster relatively new, though?
No.
I think
it's relatively new to what, McDonald's?
No, well, McDonald's was there before. Like, Red Rooster, I think it was, what, early 2000s? No.
What are you getting that from?
Because, like, they're the same company as Porto's, and I know Porto's opened quite late.
Oh, they would have merged.
Oh, okay.
Because I remember when a Porto was getting big, and there was this very distinct moment when I realized that this was a chain. This is not a restaurant that has a couple of different restaurants somewhere. This is a full-blown McDonald's enterprise.
No, but it wasn't always like that, though.
No.
The first ever of Porto's is literally right here, a few hundred meters away from where we are right now in Bondi.
Yeah.
And mind you, that a Porto's is still exactly the way it was at that point, because I'm pretty sure this a Porto over here takes your order on a piece of paper and not on a computer screen. I don't know why they never, like, updated themselves. But anyway, should we move on to our first segment or what?
Well, we could just reminisce about... I don't know, Arlie. What do you think? Is the lettuce to the Porto that good or Red Rooster? Which one has the best lettuce?
Do you know what?
We could move on.
Dude, we need to publicize this. We need to tell our audience, what's the show... what was the show that we were just watching?
Lemmy Show.
Yep. Boys, get into that shit. And give us a review. Tell us, what would you rate it out of 1 to 10?
Okay, I thought you were going to give it a really stupid rating. Like, 37. Out of 37.
No, okay, actually, that is 37.
37.
Out of 37. It's like you need a calculator.
Such a stupid
Comes from the guy that... don't you do, like, IKEA bed ratings for your YouTube videos?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't watch that.
They're always out of 10.
Man,
I'm not that stupid.
Okay. Well, yeah. So the Lenny Show, is that what it's called?
It's great because every other skit show that has ever been made has always just been from some hack from Hollywood going, "I've got to make it. You'll see. I've got talent. Damn it. Yeah. What's your name again? Jimmy Fallon." Mad.
Dude, you were trying so hard not to name your ex-comedy partner just now, weren't you?
Dude, you're right.
Jimmy, that's right. That's the name.
I hate being in a long-term podcast relationship with someone because they just know too much. It is that thing of in The Simpsons of we're just exchanging long strands of protein strains. If you can think of a more efficient way, I'd like to hear it.
Man,
that is us now.
Yeah, I would love talking about that, but I think it'll be too slack. So we should move on to the first segment.
Yeah, fair point. Dude, can we make this the first segment? What's going on with Bernie? Because you're the only person that I talk to about this, apart from my good friend from Young Labour, Jack, who look, he's not even a friend at this point. What that guy is, you know, in those Christian cartoons where there's a talking dog and then they always go, "I've got a problem, Davey." And he goes, "Tell me about it, Billy." That's him to me. But, yeah, I've been trying to grasp what I can out of that guy because he's quite... you know, embedded.
He's Labour left, the best right?
Way into the Labour Party. Christ, no.
He's Labour right. Okay.
Yeah, and he.
So he actually can. He actually matters.
Does shit. Yeah, CIA connections, but you know, we'll omit that.
Yeah, he hates Whitlam, dude. Who's his favorite Prime Minister?
Guess.
I don't know, Keating.
Yeah, no? Of course, he's Labour right. It has to be Keating.
Yeah, it has to be.
It's Keating. Either that or no. Oh, I don't know. Hawkey had hair until he died. That's pretty mad.
It would have been better if it was Tony Blair. I go across the pond too.
That'd be so good. No, you know what would be even better? Margaret Thatcher.
No, but she's conservative. Yeah, she doesn't work.
But if he's, it just doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Yeah. You got to respect power where it lies.
You got to respect power and you've got to respect bipartisanship.
Dude, you know what, actually? Margaret Thatcher, she first of all, she was a total pistol. Second off, this just shows the insular nature of the US, the fact that Ben Shapiro went on to that BBC show with that ex-Tory, and the ex-Tory ripped him to shreds because I don't know if you know this, Ben. He's an ex-Tory. That's what they do.
That's all they do. Yeah, like they don't actually benches, govern.
Their backbenches would make Keating cry.
Dude, they're
cry.
All Tony Abbott's. They're no. all. Well, Tony Abbott had this. Like, okay. Tony Abbott, say what you want, was a sick opposition leader.
Oh, he was sick of that, but...
Yeah, and Tories are mad at shutting people down.
But that's what I'm... No, but that's what I'm saying. Tony Abbott is not a good orator. But every Tory I've ever seen...
Man, I tell you
makes
one
...makes me want to vote for them.
I tell you one thing. I am not even kidding about this. Tony Abbott's article on federalism is part of my university course.
No, he's a good writer. It's the same as John Howard. But being a good orator and being a good writer are so different.
Yeah, true. And his article wasn't that great. Just putting it out there. Like, you could tell. Like, you could tell that this is written by someone that could be a student or a teacher. You're not really sure, 100%.
Damn. Okay, well, cheerfully withdrawn then. I was going to give him some slack.
No, but yeah. And every time you tell someone that Tony Abbott's stupid, they always have this one tidbit. They're like...
He ate an onion.
No. What? Do you just hang out with...
Yes.
Do you just hang out with retards, man?
My whole life is just reading comments from idiots. Yes, I hang out with retards.
No, the fact that like he was a Rhodes Scholar.
Yeah.
And I don't know what like how smart you have to be to get that shit, but I'm guessing not too smart.
Yeah, I think it might be the same thing as you're impressed when someone goes to Sydney Law until you hang out with people from Sydney Law.
Yeah. Then you're just impressed by anyone that does not go to Sydney Law.
Yes.
So true.
That's so true. So many times I've been in a party with Sydney Law kids and thought, man, I would trade anything to hang out with Ivan Milat right now.
You know what? I just become Robert De Niro. I just go like, I just want to punch these bozos in the face.
I remember that. I remember once driving and dropping my girlfriend off and one of them walked out the door and said, where you going, champ? And then I just said, oh yeah, we're going somewhere else. He goes, see ya. And then your response instantly verbatim was like, man, I heard 5 words from that guy. Can we go back and beat his ass?
I just went all packy again, man. It was, yeah, they were, look, man, like, I know they're your friends of your girlfriend, and she is mad, but they aren't mad at all. And I can say this, most of the people that I hang out with at my law school also suck ass. I think, yeah, like, I know I keep ranting about this, but yeah, people that do law suck.
Yeah. I don't...
Unless they're fobs or they're... actually, that's it, yeah. Unless
it's only just fobs, you're
yeah,
right.
Just fobs.
You can't be born in this country and do law and be sick. It's impossible.
Well, first of all, if you do it, you think that you're the shit, so you are a psychopath.
Mm.
Most of them are psychopaths. Or if you're not a psychopath, you think like you're just... this gift to universe and you're funny and you're enterprising. Anything that you do, you just mention like, oh yeah, I read a sick poem. They'll tell you how good they are at writing poems.
Yeah, that's true.
And you're like,
well,
yeah, I didn't.
That's the thing that really annoys me about law students in general is how creative they think they are.
Yeah.
And as always, just this point of, you do realize that you are the closest thing humanity has produced to a robot.
And dude, say what you want. Andrew Yang is like whole thing about like mechanization and robots taking over. It's kind of good because one of the first jobs that are going to go are these shit lawyers.
Oh, shut down, you fucking... Yes. Yes. Oh, no, but now they're all going to have YouTube channels like Legal Eagle.
No, they won't.
Yeah, maybe 6 of them will have it, but still, not worth it.
Yeah,
I want to end this... nightmarish Terminator hellscape before it begins. Anyway, just going back to this because I just need to get this off my chest. But like, I'll just tie this in while I can. I think this might be one of the most telling, witty. Just British politicians, not comedians. I think Australian comedians still kill it internationally, but politicians have us all outclassed, even Keating. This was Margaret Thatcher's response when they asked, what is the part of your legacy that you're most proud of? Like, what is the most impactful change that you made? And her response was, Tony Blair.
Damn. And you know what, man? She's right.
She's right.
She is right, and that is indeed quite a change. You know, Margaret Thatcher, look, man, like, obviously, it's clear that both of us don't really like her policies, but she was one smart lady.
Yeah.
And I remember watching her last speech in Parliament. That was one of the most profound speeches I've ever heard. And you can't imagine. And I've mentioned this on the podcast before. It was mostly about the European Union, because she was against joining the European Union. I'm not necessarily saying that they shouldn't have joined the European Union, but her criticisms were so fucking valid. And today, post-Brexit world, she remains vindicated. Vindicated. That shit.
Remains vindictive, yeah. Even beyond death. And yeah. You could tell, even if you opened up her skull, there'd still be two eyebrows just crossed down on it. But yeah, keep going.
I think I've had too much weed. her point was about how... So she basically was saying that a monetary policy, setting of interest rates, setting of these kind of things is not... is a genuine British policy to have. You can't pass it on to these economists that live in Brussels or whatever. This is it's a political decision. It's not an economic decision. Even though it is about the economy. Essentially, what I'm saying is how you recover, how you manage your economy is a political process and not an economic process. And she recognized that. And most dumb fucks don't. That's why we're living this perpetual state of recession now.
It is pretty baller that the cream of the crop when it comes to politicians, you know, they're essentially Nostradamus, except instead of seeing 1,000 years into the future, they can see about 10. But
that's still pretty impressive,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it? Because it was the same thing when Paul Keating was just talking about, yeah, Kerry, there's going to be this thing one day where there's just going to be like multiple channels on it. Infinite channels, right? Infinite ABC channels where you could just be a journalist and you could say whatever you want without the editor saying it as long as you want. He was predicting YouTube, Facebook, Spotify in the 90s.
Mm.
He didn't have the names for them. That's a different department.
Wait, who's this? Kerry O'Brien, did you say?
No, Paul Keating was predicting that. Before then. So the thing is, and I actually see it as well now that I study politics a lot. Dude, I think I could actually be a sick investor if I had no soul at all. And now, even though I have like, I reckon even without it, I reckon I could still maintain my soul and be a good investor. Purely because if you're reading about politics all the time, you can kind of see where the world is going.
Man, I don't know. Like, you kept saying Red Rooster is going to be the next big thing, and I'm pretty sure they're going bankrupt.
You wait. We're just going to have a comeback.
Just going to make a comeback.
It's just people haven't figured out that they've got fish and chips.
But you know, that's actually, that's literally my dream job.
Working at Red Rooster.
Working at Red, making them nuggets.
Dude, it's so good, because I can't see you looking really exasperated with that little microphone around your ear, just like, "Are those chickens done? Hi, welcome to Red Rooster, can I take your order?"
No, but like being a political investor.
What's a political investor?
Man, oh, Koch Brothers, that's a political investor.
Hell yeah.
Being like a left-wing version of the Koch Brothers. You know when people ask you, what would
that
you
doesn't
do?
Exist, does it?
No, well, who's that guy? That
George Soros.
But he isn't.
He invests in Clinton, sick.
Yeah, exactly, right? So they, he is one of those, he's the, I hate that like people like George Soros get the left title, because they're the cons, they're like the Stephen Colberts of the world that are socially left, but economically they're pretty right. What you want is someone like a Bernie to be really rich and start putting money in.
Well, this is what's so baller, and this is why GetUp, the people that work there, are geniuses that set it up, because that is what they're doing now. They've realized campaigning's just bullshit. You can't win. Like, you could do everything you want. You can come up with all of these strategies, but at the end of the day, here's how you figure out if you're going to, like, implement change in an election. Is your name Rupert Murdoch? No. Well, sorry. That's how it rolls, right?
Yeah.
So essentially what they're doing now is they're moving out of activism and they're moving into superannuation and setting up startup techs, because they realize that actually the people who implement policy in the world are industry.
I've got I've actually got a question about that. I feel like superannuation, and that's supposed to be like Keating's legacy, I think superannuation at this point has become redundant.
Yeah, but that's because of Howard's fuckery in it. It could have been something that would have just... Essentially, look, in Singapore, superannuation is not redundant.
Wait, so in how much... Look, so I'll tell you why I'm saying it's redundant over here, just in case someone's listening to it and thinking, like, why do you think... So, like, by the time you retire, like, you have $300,000. Mad. That's not going to get you anything, right? So that's why I'm saying it's redundant over here. The increase in superannuation just hasn't been able to match up with the level of inflation in the general society.
But so, they just haven't implemented phase two of superannuation, which is go to Thailand, marry a 20-year-old.
Wait, how is that going to make you money? That's a drain.
No, because if you've got $300,000 in Thailand, you're set.
Oh, that's true, actually.
How much do you have to spend in Thailand to live? $1.10 a day? You're not going to live another 200,000 days.
Yeah, maybe we should do that. Maybe when she retire, like, yeah, retirees already go to Thailand to get married and then bring them over here. Just live over
just
there.
Stay there.
Man, I know one guy that actually did that. One of my little brother's friends, dude, he has a fucked family. Talk about a broken home. His dad's in jail. His mom should be in jail. He will go
to
jail.
Is that your opinion or she's going to jail?
My opinion is that... Well, no, none of this is my opinion. His dad is genuinely in jail. His mom genuinely should be in jail because I've seen her and she looks pretty fucked. And he...
Dude, that is as opinion as you can get.
No!
She should be in jail because she looks fucked.
No. She's not... Okay, so this is the kind of family that they have, man. I'm not kidding. And this is a true story. The guy comes over to my house to show my little brother this new car that he's gotten from dealing. Then... has three bottles of cough syrup and drives that same car and totals it, gets a new car,
no,
does the same thing again and totals it.
No.
Don't you reckon that guy would go to jail at some point in his life?
Nah, he sounds smart, too smart for jail.
All right,
jail is made for that man. That is the reason jail exists, yeah, because that man does. This is one of those things of like, if you don't see the moon, it doesn't exist. I swear to God, if that man wasn't born, I would not know what a jail is.
Well, the point of that story was that his dad got out of jail and he just now lives in Thailand, mate. Because he's living off of the money that he made.
That's what so many drug dealers do. Yeah. I've got friends like that as well. Oh, friends of friends that they were heavy dealers. They got a tip from the cops because they were paying a cop that they were going to bust open their enterprise. So then they just fucked off to Vietnam. That's where they live to this day. And all they do is sit on Facebook day in, day out going, come to Vietnam, bro. I'll pay for you. Bro, I'm so bored. Come on,
and
bro.
No one is going to Vietnam.
No one is hanging out in a Vietnamese mansion with drug dealers. It's such a scary idea.
Hey, can we like admit it? The third world kind of sucks, man.
Yes.
Like no one really wants to live there. You want to go there to, like, ride jet skis and do... And, like, yeah, if you're seedy, then have sex with really cheap hookers.
And this. Shoot a bazooka.
Shoot a bazooka. Yeah, that's a thing in Vietnam. No, AK-47. Isn't that a thing?
You can do it all. If you've got enough money, anything goes in Thailand. I mean, well, whatever.
No. Oh, it's a shame. It's not the same as Packy Packy Boobo Stan. You can kill a motherfucker in Packy Packy Boobo Stan.
I'm sure.
You know how, like, you go to Africa and they go, like, for $3,000, you can kill this really old lion.
Mm.
For $2, you can kill this really old man in Pakistan. All right, can we move?
So, just like shivering and turning to you, being like,
hello, kill me, please. Dude, he would be. He doesn't even say, he
doesn't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he thinks he's going to get food.
And it's so good that there's just this guy arbitrarily assessing that you can kill this man. He's got no state authority. It's just his business. He decided that that's his shtick in life.
Fuck. And you know what else I recently found out? And I don't think... You know how like in Australia... And I know we talked about like prisons in the last one, but this is an interesting tidbit. Yeah, you know, like in Australia, you've got like these maximum security prisons and the ones that aren't so... So that's the difference, right? In Pakistan, you've got... I'm not kidding. First class prison, business class prison, economy prison.
Are you kidding?
They don't call it that. They call it A, B, and C. But it's basically that. If you're rich, you go to a prison, you've got your air conditioning, you've got a TV, you've got like a treadmill, you get whores coming in every now and then.
Do you?
Yeah. And if you're poor, you go to Sikh prison, which is basically you are sucking another man's dick. And not because you want to, because you're so close that the dick is automatically going in your mouth.
I'm sorry.
Dude, that sounds really... Okay, so, should we... Dude, we're like halfway through this podcast.
Oh, sorry. Give it to me straight. Yeah. Give it to me straight. Does Bernie have a chance?
Man, okay. Good question. I would say... Okay, so let's look at the polls, right? The polls say that... So all of the sort of businessmen and some of the organizations that were backing Bernie in the last elections are now backing Elizabeth Warren.
Why is that?
Because they feel that...
No one was backing Bernie last time, wasn't it? Just like, the electrical trade union of Bush.
I'm not talking about the corporations. I'm talking about like these freaking institutions, man. These...
ACLU or something like that.
Yeah, shit like that. You know, like whatever shit their like version that. Of like unions are. So they're now backing Elizabeth Warren. I feel like, so last in 2016, Bernie had a huge internet following. Like that momentum was built on the internet, and I think the Yang Gang has taken that a little bit.
Can they piss off? I hate that. How can you be famous for repeating three words over and over?
But those are really important words. I don't know why you hate Andrew Yang. I'm not saying that he should be the president or anything.
Because he's a knob.
Man, he's talking about some of the issues that I think need to be talked about.
Fair point. Have you noticed that everything else he sucks on, though? Have you noticed that?
He is kind of lame.
Everything else is shit. It's just like, what's your solution to climate change? Universal basic income. What's your solution to having minimum wage? Universal basic income.
Yeah, he's
can't replace your entire vocabulary with an acronym.
That's like being pissed off at Limp Bizkit for playing their specials, you know? That's his shtick.
That's his shtick.
That's what he's about.
He's running for president. Fred Durst is already spiritual emperor of the universe.
Look, what I'm saying is... But here's another tick. Here's another interesting fact for you. So there's only two candidates in the Democratic field right now where more than 10% of Trump voters... say that they will vote for. Guess who those two candidates
are? Biden and Sanders.
No.
No?
Sanders, yes. Andrew Yang is the other one.
Yeah, because of how much conservative media blowback you get. See, this is the whole thing that's really scary about the US. And I know that Obama used to talk about this all the time. This is a point that is completely underrated, which is that they have... I mean, we have a terrible media ecosystem as well, but they haven't. It's like I can't remember what Bill Maher was talking about. It's just like there's an alternate universe media ecosystem in the US where they just repeat the same talking points over and over. They have a slightly different variation, which is that some of them have a South Carolina accent and some of them sound like they're from Alaska, but it's just like here's your talking points for today. They just repeat them over and over and. Collectively, they have about 60 million people listening to them day in.
Man,
day
are you
out.
Like, is this like an elaborate way of you saying that Joe just vote for Joe Biden?
Yes.
Because I'm not on that train.
I am not on that train.
Man, here's the thing.
But look, okay, first off, we'll get to Biden in a second. First, when I saw that his eye exploded in one of the debates, I thought, that's the man for me. But we'll get back to that later. In the meantime, when it comes to Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, I think.
What do you think? Because I think
look, he
what
is mad.
Is
I love that
Warren,
man. Huh? He is the only man in the world who I'll suck his dick.
That Noam Chomsky will partially pay.
Yeah, besides Noam Chomsky, Bernie Sanders are the only two people that I would suck their dick.
But, it is amazing, don't you think? That like just how the NRA gives out rankings, and that's why certain politicians get reelected. That I don't know, Rick Sanchez from Texas got an A-. Don't you think that Noam Chomsky giving out a C- is the equivalent of an A+? And that's what Bernie's gotten.
Pretty much. This is another... So So I think the three top candidates at this point are Biden, Sanders, and Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, but Bernie's becoming a distant third.
Look, man, it's still early. I'm not saying he'll win.
This is weird. Don't you think that he should be experiencing, if he's going to win, some form of momentum? And he's not. He stayed at... He's at 16 now. He was at 16 at the beginning. He hasn't changed.
Yeah, but... Man, what about Joe Biden going senile? That's a thing.
Yeah, I don't care.
Are you serious?
We've already had a president that was senile. It wasn't that bad. He was funny.
Wait, are you talking about Jimmy Carter? No, Ronald Reagan.
Reagan, man. I think at the end, Reagan... Oh, no, that was when he was not president.
But like, he genuinely was.
There was a point. How sad is this thought? When he was an old man, they walked in and they just go, "Happy 80th, Reagan," or however old he was. And there was a cake in front of him that was the White House. And he goes, "I don't know what this cake is. And I don't know who you people are. But you seem nice. And this cake looks pretty important. So I must have been somebody big."
Yeah, because didn't he have like Alzheimer's for the last year of his presidency?
Yeah, but the thing is, no one knew what Alzheimer's was in the 80s. They just thought that was old.
Damn.
That was just being an old man.
That is fucked. Imagine if Trump had Alzheimer's. Don't you reckon he'd be like out instantly?
Yeah, there's a bit of a conspiracy theory about that. I don't buy it though.
Wait, what's the conspiracy theory? That he has.
If you clip together 20 minutes of people fumbling for words, you could make it that I have Alzheimer's very easily. There's enough footage of me on the net to do it.
Are you trying to say like Joe Biden's getting it like wrong? Because he's also apparently...
No, I think that he
sniffs 13-year-old girls' hair. That's the thing that he likes to do too.
Don't we all? But look, always so up for defending pedos.
Yeah, you've got... I see a pattern over here.
But the thing is...
Man, I'm just saying, like, out of these three top candidates, Joe Biden is the weakest. Dude, Elizabeth Warren's all right, too.
No, but this is the thing that's starting to scare me about her, because it's like, better the devil you know. I think that I think that what's happened is they've assessed Elizabeth Warren's record, and they've just said she's all talk and no bite. And...
I beg to differ. But I do think I. But
do
like,
you beg to differ though?
I do, because but the one thing that I am, I think I am pretty much convinced.
To need to affirm it. Yep.
I'm pretty convinced that if Elizabeth Warren becomes the nominee, she will lose the elections. Dude, she does not have it in her to like go against Trump. Man, she
I don't know.
Is
every
a
time she
mom.
Looks like she's about to start crying, it's kind of like Pauline Hanson, where I sit there in the. The monkey part of my brain watches it and goes, "Oh no, there's another sad ape."
No,
that's what happens to me.
Don't...
I think that every time she starts getting passionate, I start getting a bit weepy. Don't you think that she's actually pretty good at moving
Trump was right in one specific
way?
She's goofy as fuck. No one wants a goofy president. I just feel like only Bernie would be really good at beating Trump. And you know what? I was watching Biden's interview today with Jimmy Kimmel. And
he's a likable dude.
He is a likable man. However...
And you know what? Sorry, you go. Yeah.
Okay, so first of all, he isn't for universal healthcare.
Of course not.
What do you mean, of course not? That's not a good thing.
I know, but this is what I'm starting to get the older I get. First of all,
I'm just gonna come out.
I like
the liberals are all right.
No, you know what's amazing though? I was talking to my Bogan friend. I just have to unleash this on you, Ali. I was talking to my Bogan friend, so you just pointed out they live in the western suburbs. They're not Bogans automatically, but yeah, just for comical purposes, like yeah, just Pauline Hanson voters that I hang out with, and they were saying they're dyed in the wool Labor voters. And they've all just bought houses. And they just went, man, I can see how it happens. Because this was the first election where I was looking at the proposals of Labour and wasn't going, yeah, that's a bad idea, do it. This was the first one where I went, ooh, this one's going to sting. All right, I'll just take this one for the team.
Wait, you know what? I feel like he's bullshitting. He voted Libs.
No, look, if there's one thing that I'm sure about in my life, it's not that actually, but it's up there. And
these friends that I hang out with once a year, their voting preference, yeah, I know that for sure. Does my girlfriend love me? I don't know.
What is love? But yeah, sorry, just move it. I'm getting to this point where I'm understanding now that the smartest thing to do is not to, quote, fight the power. It doesn't work. What you do is convince the power that what you want is what they want, because actually, the oligarchy, apart from your occasional evil geniuses like the Koch brothers, in general, they're actually pretty reasonable people. They're just kind of stupid. You assume that the oligarchy sit around in this smoke-filled room, right, just smoking cigars. They're not. They're usually just the children of like seven generations of wealth. And they're just so removed from society, they don't even think about politics. They're just like, oh, my granddad liked the Liberals. So they have that attitude, most of them. Yes, there's people like the Koch brothers who are unbelievably meticulous zealots. But just like what I've been talking to the ACF, you know what the ACF does now? They actually just go around lobbying the oligarchs of Australia going, come on, Scott Morrison, he's embarrassing. Like, if he didn't shit himself at Dean Mackers, he probably did it like a week ago.
I don't understand. Like, I get what you're saying.
What?
But okay, so I actually went through that phase. You know, when you're growing up, like, when I was growing up, like, I was a commie, so I was like, yeah, fuck the authority, fuck the establishment, even fuck my parents, fuck anyone that has, like, more than $10 in their pocket. Like, so that's where I started from, and that's fucked.
That's so good.
And then, like...
So fuck everyone except homeless people and teenagers.
And then, like, and as I got older, when I went to uni and I was just about to graduate, like, that's the time when I was like, you know what, going against the system is wrong and you should try to like get in the system and try to reform it. Because I was like optimistic. I was like, I'll go into like some government job and I'll change the world, right? But now I've come to that point again where fuck it. Fuck them, man. You fight the power. Fight the oligarchy. What do you mean trying to convince them? We're not beggars where we go like, here's a bowl. Please put some spare change in it.
Don't you think we are?
We are.
Like, if you know how you just say to people, oh my God, this guy that I know makes, are you ready for it? $150,000 a year. Baller.
Dang.
Man, the people that control society own casinos. You know what a bad day for them is?
But like, who gives a shit?
A bad day is when they like get less than 15 houses.
Man, okay, here's the thing. You've hung out with rich people. I've hung out with rich people. And I'm not talking about like, yeah, $150,000. I'm talking about like people whose parents are like fucking millionaires and billionaires, right? They get impressed by you. They are unimpressive people. Money doesn't get you shit, man.
No, but it gets you a lot of six money power.
Yeah, sure. You just get Tinder, you'll get that too. Maybe like
yeah, but budget pussy.
Whatever, man. Who gives a shit? fuck rich people.
So
I'm just saying, like, all I'm saying is that you don't have to be part of it to change it. And you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe like by staying out of it, you'll never change it. And most people don't. I'm content with that. When I die, I'd be like, yeah, I didn't fucking like lick an oligarch's balls.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, dude, know, maybe... I would be very content sucking an 80-year-old man's dick and just going like, hey, come on, let's just move Gonski 2.0 back to
man. Gonski. I've got to like, I've got something to say to you, and this is an important discussion. Although I'm having this on the podcast, but as a friend, I am telling you something. I told you about that one journalist from, like, one of these revered journalists from Pakistan, right? Who's got his own channel now. He said one of the toughest jobs for a journalist is to be, once you get really big and once people start knowing you, politicians want to hang out with you. All of these really powerful people in society want to hang out with you because you form people's opinions and they impress you. And they are extremely impressive personalities. You don't become a head of state for no reason. You've got to have something in you. You've got to have some level of charisma to get in that position. And he was saying that a good journalist's job is to be able to resist
it. Stay away from it.
No, yep. Not stay away from it. being able to resist falling in love, in the sense that when you hang out with Paul Keating, for instance, right? He's an extremely intelligent man. He ticks every box. You automatically just start revering him, and anything that he says, you start believing it to be factual and truth because you genuinely trust him. There's no malice. And I'm telling you, you're getting big, and you're a fake journalist, but nonetheless. Fake journalist. But nonetheless, you need to keep this in mind. You will meet very powerful men in your life now, and women. You can't be enamored by them. Keep your objective mind intact.
I don't have an objective mind.
But you,
this is my mind. Everything that Labour ever does is sick. Everything the Liberals does is like dead.
But that's okay too. That's coming from like your own little naive head. But that's fine. What I'm saying is, like, once you hang out with some of these really influential people, Don't come under their spell.
Which, speaking of, I've got a little announcement to make to the podcast listeners. I don't know if I should be saying this, but there is a certain ex-prime minister that will be doing an exclusive interview with your boy Friendly Geordies.
No way. Wait.
That's right.
Is that Paul Keating?
Arthur Cadwell. No, it's going to be that guy. I think he's from like the 20s.
Wait, who is it? Kevin Rudd.
How good would that be, having a seance with Arthur Cadwell?
Isn't he dead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how? Yeah.
Harold Holt returns.
No
from
way.
The grave.
No way is Paul Keating ever having a meeting with us. You know.
Wait, so who is
you know
he?
My like psycho, little sneaky rat, of a social media.
Yeah. You should
and
just
also
said rat.
Dear friend. But he was going around. First of all, he asked Chomsky, can you say Clive Palmer's a fatty McFuckhead? And Chomsky responded with going, that's an interesting idea, but I don't think that I should be saying those profanities, but I know that in spirit I do think that. And then, but...
why is he the best comedian in the world? Chomsky.
That is a question that I don't think anyone can answer. It's just like, it's one of those things that like, you either got it or you don't. And Chomsky got it. Wait, and so then the other one is
are you interviewing Julia Gillard? Is that what's happening?
I reckon I could interview Julia Gillard tomorrow.
I think you could.
I reckon we could call up Julia Gillard now and say,
dude,
you want to be on
you?
Speakerphone for the next hour? And she go, yeah, I'm not doing anything.
Can we like change this podcast to like Logan Paul, Paul Logan, whatever the fuck that guy's name is, and do you think you'd be able to tap Julia Gillard if you wanted to?
Isn't she married?
But just because there's a gully doesn't mean you can't score.
I love that the more you've gotten onto Tinder, the more you legitimately think that as well. And like, and your hair gets progressively more Guido each week.
Yeah, yeah, dude. Like, I'm basically just like, I'm just like reciting the game now. That's called an obstacle in the theory.
Yes, yes.
How do you overcome obstacle? That's the question. No, but who is it? Who are you interviewing?
Ruddy Rud Rud.
Yeah, I knew it. Dude, you know what? Can you tell him that he just interviewed, because I just saw his interview with the external minister of India, Jay Kishan Shankar.
Who was interviewing who?
Kevin Rudd was interviewing him.
Why?
For Council of Foreign Relations. Because, you know, there's the UN, the United Nations General Assembly going on, so all the world leaders are in New York, and Kevin Rudd. Dude, Kevin Rudd is mad. I love him. I was just watching his interview, and I think he didn't, like, know the facts too well, because, like, the external minister was saying some shit that was not false, but he was giving the incomplete story. Anyway, so I was, like, sort of disappointed out of Kevin Rudd, but I still think he's a sick cunt, and I think this interview is going to be really good.
Honestly, I think that the Labour Party should have stuck with him for right up until now. He is their best shot, and they should just keep trotting him out, even though he'd lose every time, because whoever Murdoch wants him to win, wins. But he understands the media landscape better than any politician has or will have. You know, when you listen to Paul Keating now, God, I feel so... Can you imagine this? Just some little punk like me having snide views of Paul Keating. But he just doesn't get it. If you know what I mean, as in, like, when he's talking about media bias and stuff. This is legitimately his opinion of going like, oh, no, no, all you need is just to have a strong leadership and everyone else will just fall into line. They'll respect the strong leadership and then that's how you win. What he doesn't understand, though, is that Murdoch liked the Labour Party back when he was a young ministerial candidate, right?
Oh, wait, so recently...
Yeah, because they did deals to fuck over one of Murdoch's competitors because that competitor had always been, like, unbelievable. Like, you think that the Telegraph is bad now. H&M or whatever it was called. Jesus. It just... They didn't play nice. And so he... So they did deals to make sure that Murdoch could take more of the press in this country. And then Murdoch rewarded them with two terms of being nice to them and has just been... Just turned into H&M ever since.
But don't you reckon, like, Murdoch, like, the only sort of acceptable Labour Party is like, your Paul Keating's or a Tony Blair? Like, he would not be okay with... Like, I don't think he liked Julia Gillard. Did he like her?
No.
Yeah, exactly, right? Because she was better. Look, I like Kevin Rudd, too, and I kind of hate Julia Gillard.
No. But Julia Gillard was... Honestly, now that I've, like, seen the WikiLeaks document... Kevin Rudd was better.
No, Kevin Rudd was better. Okay, here's the thing. This is the... Julia Gillard was an American puppet.
Straight up.
You heard me.
I like how there was a pause as well. Even though I completely agree with you, every time someone says that, I just think, what a nut.
Okay, true. Maybe, like, on a serious note, not a puppet, but she was basically playing... the American lobby's hand in Australian politics, right? That was her job. She was well aware of it. And most countries in the world have those people, right? So, and Julia Gillard was that. Kevin Rudd, so that aspect of her I don't like. Her foreign policy I didn't like. But you've got to admit something. Her domestic policy was sick. Julia Gillard was good for Australia.
Well, yeah, okay, let me get a little finer in the detail here. Look, Julia Gillard was an exceptional manager. She was great at the day-to-day of governing. But unfortunately, I don't think we live in that age anymore. It is better to just have a superstar that everyone likes and thinks they are good at managing, because at the end of the day, isn't it the same thing now?
Yeah, but there's, like, no one like that.
That's Kevin Rudd. Kevin Rudd was terrible at day-to-day managing of being a Kevin Prime Rudd Minister, but he was kicked. Amazing.
Kevin Rudd got kicked out twice.
Yeah.
So he probably wasn't a superhero that would have stayed there for a very long time. First of all, his own party kicked him out. Then he came back, and then there was a general election.
Yeah, because the Australian public kicked him out. This is the thing. The reason he was kicked out is because he pissed off the mining lobby and the US. That's sick. What a legend.
Yeah,
and then on top of that, he lost in the second election, it was because Murdoch was after his scalp, but he saved the Labour Party up to 25 seats. Huge accomplishment.
What do you mean save the Labour Party? He lost the election.
Because Gillard was going to lose the election bad. And then he
came
back.
Yeah, but why did everyone
hate... I like Rudd, but Labour's rotten.
But why did everyone hate Gillard, though?
Because of the press.
Yeah, because she was... Dude, she got NDIS.
Yeah.
That was mad.
But this is the whole
carbon tax.
This is what's so genius about the US empire, is that... Unlike other empires in the past where it's just gone, this is Roman territory. That's the flag. Kiss it. You know?
And kiss my ass while you're at it.
They only do that to their own citizens. To everybody else in the world, they pretend that they have their own leader, that they have their own flag. They don't care if you've got Medicare or not. Like, why do the Americans give a shit how you manage your police system? Do all that. All they care about is resources extraction. And they care about what you do in your foreign policy. And so, like, they have this very... They've kind of got this bare-bones empire across the planet. And they only implement change when either of those two things are threatened. But, yeah, when it comes to, like... Look,
because that's what matters to them.
Murdoch cares if we have NDIS or something like that. Well, actually, he cares if we have broadband. But, you know, the American empire is not going to step in when, like, you know... Rupert Murdoch's just being like, they want to have fast internet. They want to, no, none of this YouTube stuff. Just watch Mad About You, you know, like so like they're not going to care about like domestic policy. So Julia Gillard can do whatever she wants in domestic policy. The reason that Rudd was ousted is because he messed with the two things that the Americans actually care about, and that's why I think that he's honestly up there with your Gough Whitlams, or just Gough Whitlam because there's no plural. Yeah.
Yeah.
evidently.
That's tragic to think about.
Don't you think it's... Come on. Look, pay this, though.
I don't disagree with you. Usual. Dude, as an old school Paki commie, I hate Americans as much as anyone else out there. In fact, in my ad listens, I used to scream "Death to America." That's not true, but it would have been funny if it was. Look, Kevin Rudd's all right. I've always liked Kevin Rudd, even when everyone loved Julia Gillard. I liked Kevin Rudd, and for that reason, because he basically told the U.S. to kind of fuck off. He basically said that we're a country where we make our own decisions. Essentially, that's what he said.
Yeah.
And that was...
And the U.S. promptly reminded him that is not the case.
That is not the case, boy. Well, when are you going to do this? This is going to be fun.
Well, this is going to be in December, so it's a long way away. Yeah. And in between that, I'm going to be releasing a video that says, the reason Kevin Rudd was ousted is because of a CIA plan. I mean, we have the WikiLeaks documents. People are always saying that I'm crazy. They're crazy for not reporting this. That's going to be me. And then he's not going to come on my channel after that. But the people have a right to know.
The people, and
basically, wait, because what, I can't be bothered to think about other content.
Can I write that script for that interview with you, man? I could give you a few questions to ask him, but you wouldn't ask him those.
What are they? Is it just going to be like, who do you think is the best Pakistani foreign minister?
Like, no, you know what you should do, dude? You should you should just start talking to him in Cantonese. So that he'd be like...
See if he tries to answer in Mandarin as if he like knows what's going on.
And then you just look at the camera. Look, he's a charlatan. He's speaking Mandarin. Just a phony.
Exposed.
No, I want to like
exposing ex prime ministers.
Yeah, maybe. Are you gonna actually talk to him about that whole? Are you gonna talk to him about the US and its influence?
No. But I will talk to him about why Australia should move towards China and media bias.
Yeah, those are good. You know what? The media bias, I already know his answers for. I kind of know his answers for China too. But I'll give you a few questions. Maybe if you like him, ask him that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but what the conclusion is that Bernie's losing the elections? Yes. Is that what we're talking
about? Bernie's losing the elections, and get behind Blood Eye Biden.
No, I don't do that. Here's the thing. If Bernie isn't the Democratic candidate, man, Trump is where it's
just
at.
Just write in Ralph Nader.
No, Trump, man. Trump. It was the same in 2016. It's the same. Bernie or Trump.
Or Donald Trump.
That's it.
Damn. I think this is the first time I've ever said this on this podcast. I am not on that train.
Me neither. But, man, fuck Joe Biden, though. Joe Biden is just... He's just a shitter Obama. And Obama was pretty shit.
I don't think they were. This is my huge disagreement with everybody my age now. Obama and Biden were sick. And it's actually the Koch brothers that screwed them on everything.
That's
not
true.
They didn't. They had a much more ambitious policy.
They were charlatans. Like, while Obama was literally giving a speech on inclusivity and diversity, that is what makes America great again. Like, meanwhile, ICE was, like, locking up cunts from Mexico. What I'm trying to say is, like, he didn't walk...
Why do you give a shit about us?
I actually don't. I really, really don't. But all I'm saying is that the thing with Trump is that's why he's kind of admirable. At least he says they're rapists right in front of them, you know? Like, he doesn't have that... Obama would say shit, and then the machinery behind him would act in a different way. And I didn't like that. And I know Bernie...
That's the whole thing. It's because, fuck. So frustrating talking about this stuff because, yes, look, one person... is never going to affect the machinery of the United States Empire. But as a manager, he was mad given the circumstances.
He was charismatic.
And I can guarantee you one thing right now. Dude, Ali, I can guarantee you one thing right now. Like, both of us would fucking flounder in that position as President of the United States.
Well, talk about yourself, man.
Don't you think that Obama actually is? In terms of a manager, in terms of somebody who has the charisma to inspire people to move along and in raw intelligence, that guy has all the leadership qualities. And also on top of that, you can see from his speeches before he was president, his heart was in the right place.
Man, I am not saying he's a bad guy. All I'm saying is that he, and you know, man, I spent a greater part of my 21 to 24 years justifying the shit that Obama did. For example, your bailout package. I look at that now and I was like, you know what? That he didn't have to do that. He caved in. He hired the same people that were responsible for the crash in the first place. He says it as if it was a necessary thing that he had to do. I don't think it was necessary, but even if it was necessary, fuck it. Move aside.
But it was necessary for him to hire those people to get...
Do you know who's more respectful than him? Donald fucking Trump. He is a man that will say it like it is, and basically he doesn't mind offending people. He knows, and that's why his fans love him, because he's got integrity, right? Actually, he doesn't have any integrity, but he...
He got kuchper.
But he's got charisma, and he also, like, yeah, he's not scared. He's not afraid. If I don't hire the same Goldman Sachs people, my presidency's going to go, and I won't be able to do anything. He's be like, well, fuck it. I'll handle that shit. And this is something that I learned from that Greek finance minister. When he resigned, people kept asking him, why are you resigning? Just stay in it. And he was like, then what's the point? That's not why I got in this game for. Public service or politics isn't like any other profession. It's not like being an accountant where, like, you need to get the job done. No. If you don't think it's the right thing, fucking move aside. Live with a level of conscience. Get some... Whatever. You don't want to be responsible for it.
No, because this is the difference, man. If Obama didn't run in 2008, there's a very good chance that McCain would have won.
What would have happened... And during McCain's tenure, that would have been drastically different from Obama's.
You know what I can guarantee you right now?
What?
America would not be on its targets for 2020, which it is now meeting.
You know what? I disagree.
Why? Why do you disagree with that? There is no way that they would have spent $150 billion on renewables and renewable research in the bailout.
I think McCain,
that Obama and Biden snuck into the bailout.
I think McCain would have. Like, even if you look at... Like,
there's
absolutely no chance
in fucking...
So how long has Australia had a liberal or a conservative government now?
9 years. Well, it's 7 years, yeah.
We're meeting our Paris...
No, we're not. That's a complete lie.
But man... Here's the thing, the Paris pledges weren't that ambitious in the first place.
Yeah, and we're not meeting them.
We're close.
No, we're not. We're at like 1.5%. The reason that they are saying that we're meeting our targets is we're just going, we're cutting down less trees than we expected we were going to cut down, which no other country in the world, apart from the Ukraine, and how dodgy is that? The one that even Russia looks at and is just like, yeah, you guys are a bit sus. Like, those guys are the only ones that get these credits for not cutting down trees. It's not because we're like, we're meeting targets. We're just saying that our targets would be bigger if we did. It's like it's a really bullshit metric that Australia is using. Even the US isn't using that stuff. And the reason that the US isn't using that stuff is because when Obama got into it, he actually said, no, let's do this fairly. Whereas like Howard signed the Kyoto Protocol because Malcolm Turnbull was saying, if you don't define the terms, the Labour Party...
Can I also just give you like one bit of information? During Obama's tenure, America went from being a net exporter of fossil fuels to being a net importer, and they went to being a net exporter. He started pumping out more fossil fuels than any other president before him. Admittedly, it was because of technological advancements and they were able to do it. But all I'm saying is he ain't that Swedish chick that like jet skied across the Atlantic. He knew exactly what that shit was about. Whatever.
No,
man.
It's not. This is what I'm saying, though. If there was a Republican president, not only would they have signed that, the Keystone Pipeline would be built. The fracking would be like going...
Yeah, and he didn't stop
ahead.
It.
The amount of investment into nuclear technology would skyrocket, as it has been under the Trump administration. There would be no investment in renewables as there is. All the Trump administration has been doing the entire time they've been in power is quelling renewables. I told you about this, right? Where they made a law that in 2017 meant that coal... and nuclear power providers had to buy coal and nuclear power ahead of renewables, even if it was cheaper. The law was you had to buy coal and nuclear power. They implemented that in 2017. Renewables still kicked their ass. So in 2018, they implemented a law saying you have to pay what the coal industry and the nuclear industry wants for their energy.
And I think Obama's responsible for that. In an indirect way. In the sense that during his tenure, he made it so economical for fossil fuels to be extracted from U.S. grounds that when Trump came in, they were like, we don't want to let go of this massive treasure that is literally out there. Fuck alternative energy because we want to keep selling our shit. It's kind of like Australia trying to sell coal.
In fact, like, okay, they don't give a shit about fracking. But Obama was purposefully pivoting towards renewables. He was putting in incentive. Again, there was that $150 billion investment, right? But like when you're talking about fracking is a massive reason. There's huge environmental problems with fracking, but it's actually why the US's emissions have gone down greatly. It's because people are like, they're replacing gas with coal. The difference is the Trump administration is not saying anything is better than coal. They are saying coal is best. That is the difference in the policy.
Because they don't give a fuck. They don't care about the rhetoric. They want to just cash in on this treasure, right? So they're saying that. The reason why they still call it a hoax, they know it's not a hoax. They call it a hoax because they want... It's like saying, man, like, if all of a sudden, if you have like 20,000 diamonds in your closet and someone says diamonds are really bad, you can't sell them. You'd be like, no, that's a myth. diamonds are all right. That's what's happening with the U.S. right now.
I don't know, man. I know that. But what I'm saying is, look, you can see, I don't even know why we're arguing this, that you can see it in the Bush's track record and you can see it in Trump's track record. They have done nothing to move the energy grid. Nothing.
Okay, so that I'll concede. That bit I'll concede.
In fact, they've done everything they can to stop it from happening.
Yeah.
And they're going out of their way to do it. Because the thing is, even if you just sat back and let market forces do their thing, renewables would take over. It's countries like Australia and the US that are purposefully impeding renewables from because it's just so much cheaper than coal and nuclear power and gas.
That I agree with. So Obama did try to, like, because he personally wasn't a horrible human being, even though some of his actions were not that great. And you know what I give him another credit for? Even though the Paris Agreement and the goals in it, and it's non-binding and it has a lot of negatives, but the one positive it has is that it actually did manage to create a framework of
exactly
in future
huge political. No, yeah. Actually, you know what? Honestly, people always say this as just being like, what's the greatest political comment? You know, the EU or, like the UN or something. Dude, fuck that. The Paris Agreement is the most complicated political agreement or political mechanism that has ever been made.
It's a good.
It
creates the architecture for future issues to be resolved.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't resolve the. Okay, so look, but that's just not enough, man. You're the most powerful motherfucker in the world. You know what all the problems are. Go a bit forward and stop being afraid that your presidency is going
to
be taken away.
People always say this shit of just being like, "We've got 12 years to save the world." You know what they actually mean? They mean, like, we have 12 years to stop coal from peaking. Like, after that, we can still pump coal into the atmosphere. It just needs to be on the trajectory of the downslide. This is why everybody's always just going, like, it's not enough that the fucking, Labor's policy is 50% renewables by 2030. The Greens had 100%. Mad. They're not going to be elected. Second off, it's just about putting in the target of 50% and not freaking out energy providers. And saying that, like, this is an easily accomplishable target, and the government is on your side now, so invest in it, right? Because as soon as you do that, because it is just market forces working and it's so much cheaper, it goes ahead of 50%. It's the same thing that happened in South Australia and in Queensland now and in Victoria. They all put 50% targets, and then it smashes the 50% target and gets to 100%. It's just about putting in those, like, dude. Honestly,
because
that
there is no energy there.
Investment was huge. The reason that, like, this is the impact of Obama. Most of the renewable technology breakthroughs in the world up until recently have been from the US. Then it started moving towards the EU. Why? Because they started investing in it. And then now it's moving into China. Why? Because they're investing in it now. But it started in the US. And the reason that renewables are cheap now is primarily because of the investments that Obama put in. And that's the reason that now, like when he was in power, there was about 1% of the world where renewables were cheaper than coal and gas. Now it's 2/3 of the world. And that is because of that $150 billion investment.
Damn, you need to get that poster that said, "Hope we can," or whatever shit, and
put
it back on
your wall. Yeah, dude, I need that. Like, actually,
wall.
Dude, like, 12 years too late.
but I actually do believe in change.
Change is here. Change was here, and now it's gone. All right, we've got to go because we're like way over time. I never even thought about that.
Obama's slogan was change. Trump's is like, nah, bring it back.
And he did. All right, see you guys. Keep paying us money, please. Thank you.